Thank you, Donna.
Morning, Donna.
Morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Just give it a few minutes for other people to dial in.
It's just that's true.
I think the heat wave is slowing everybody down. Are you hot where you are, Kathy?
It's warm up here, for sure. We're over near Syracuse, so getting kind of the same temperature you are.
Yep.
Morning, John.
Who's that?
John Lynch.
Oh. Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
Are you going to entertain me? I'm on my ride home.
Oh.
Entertain me.
Good morning.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning, Mabel. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. I'll stay in the background. I just want to be available in case there's any questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan Gaudet. Good morning. Hi.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning,
Jay. Okay. Good morning, hi, Joy.
Good morning.
Hey, Diana.
How are you?
Good, and you? I have checks for you to sign, Diana.
Okay.
Okay, hearing no other dial-ins, I might as well call the meeting to order. It is 9:03. And I'll ask for an approval. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda. I'll make that motion to approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you, Kathy.
The only thing I noticed, Donna, is to change the top on my agenda. It says May 21st instead of 28.
Oh,
okay.
That's not Donna's fault. That is my mistake.
Okay, Jay, use the agenda.
Yes. I wish we could go back to the 21st. It was cooler then.
I assume you're just copying over the template, so just a
yeah.
Point of order.
Yep, nope. Well noted. Thank you. Okay, so we'll jump right into administration. And we have Kelly Robitel in the room with us. So I'll let Kelly go ahead and start. What do you got, Kelly?
Right now we're concentrating on culvert cleaning and ditch work. We will be out this afternoon treating the roads with calcium and water to keep the dust down. It's getting a little dusty. All the roads seem to be in really good shape. No real serious potholes, nothing to speak of. If anybody knows of anything, let us know, of course. We will be installing a 4-inch board in the dam today. The water level is below 4-inch mark that I'm supposed to keep it at. Hopefully, 4-inch board will correct that. I know that the loon has eggs on the nest. Critical that we do not interfere with the eggs at this point, so I'll be cautious as possible. The only other thing of concern, the road closure that we have going with the water project, the prescribed truck route is not being followed as it should be. I've noticed a number of heavy trucks going up Appenvale, up the paved hill of Appenvale, which they're not supposed to be doing. I don't know how to correct that. It's not part of my project to do that. I don't know that there's no signage on Appenvale telling the trucks not to go up there. I guess we'll have to contact Chris, or there's no project manager for me to speak to on this. There's nobody on site, so it's difficult for me. I'd like some guidance by the board to know how to deal with things that I see.
Yeah, so if I can interject, there were quite a few things that have happened over the past couple of days with regards to the project. And I'm first going to preface that the Board of Commissioners made a motion a couple of weeks ago to prohibit any commissioner from speaking or communicating directly with either the engineer, any of the contractors, including Ian Hayes, in regards to the project. So things have happened, especially in the past 2 days, with road closures and water outages. But we were not able, as commissioners, either myself, Kathy, or Adam, able to communicate to those situations which arose unexpectedly because of the motion that's been made and voted in favor. So,
but Jay, though,
yeah.
I believe Kelly was exempt from that. If there was something of a timely nature that didn't make sense to wait till a commissioner's meeting, that Kelly had the authority to contact, whether it be Dawson's Construction or Chris or Ian.
That's correct, Kathy, but I'm not part of water outages and things like that. Pertaining to the road, I mean, do I talk to Dawson? Do I talk to Chris? Is there some, I don't know who's in charge of the road group, because it's not me.
Yeah, so what happened?
Chris is in charge of the project. Chris is in charge of the project. Chris is managing the project. Chris should be the contact person on the project.
Okay. Chris
needs to
What's that?
Does Chris come on site so I can show him these things? Or
yes, he's on site periodically.
I thought it was twice a month he comes on site. That was mentioned during the pre-construction. He'd be here twice a month.
I wasn't part of the pre-construction meeting. You were. If he is, I don't know. We can get clarification from him and ask and get the detailed information. I mean, I got a hard time thinking that he's twice a month when they're actually building the tank and doing some of that site work. I could imagine twice a month for the first month when they're doing cutting trees down. But I don't know. Why don't we just ask him?
Well, I guess since there can be no communication, then it will have to be done through this office today. By Donna, after the commission has approved talking to the engineer. I'm not in charge of this. I'm highway. I'm as far as water outages and things like that, I don't know how that's going to work. Because I'm getting asked on the road, people asking me about water outages, and that's not my job.
I'd like to know about them.
So there were two water outages in the past 2 days, one on Tuesday and the other yesterday. I would happen to be in the office on one of those 2 days working with Donna on something else when a phone call came in from a resident asking about water pressure and the lack of water. That was the first we knew about an outage. The first one, which was on Tuesday, was due to a water main break when they were looking for a particular gate valve. So that was an accident, which we should expect will happen even beyond this. We are going to break pipes, as we don't know where they are in the ground. So Donna then contacted Kathy, and a message did go out about that water outage on Tuesday. Then there was another one yesterday, which was not an accident, but more of a scheduled replacement, not a replacement, but an installation of, I guess, a new valve. And I don't believe that was on Salins Road. I don't believe that is part of the project, so I don't know where that's going to stand. But in either case, those both days, the road Salins was closed on Tuesday, and Bristenstock was closed yesterday. So I took it upon myself, as a first responder in town, having this knowledge, to notify the sheriff's department. I also notified the Sheriff's Department this morning that the end of Bristenstock from the intersection of Salins to the end of the dead end, which affects six different homes, will be closed during the hours of 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Monday. So they are now aware of that. But it's this type of, I guess we're not having a very good communication at the get-go here with regards to water outages as well as road closures. And, you know, Donna was getting peppered the past couple of days with a lot of phone calls from residents. I did put a notice in both bulletin boards with respect to the Bristol stock closure for the next 3 days. But we will have more of these. And Bristol stock is actually going to be impacted quite a bit, as well as Aspen, as they move the trench box further along the road, installing new length of pipe. So we have to be aware of where these closures are going to be and how to schedule this and how to notify the residents.
Okay, so Jay,
I was just asked by a few residents because they were told they were going to have to find somewhere else to park. Otherwise, they won't be able to get out of their homes because it's a dead end. So they have to find someplace different to park and then find a way back to their house.
To that point, I went door to door yesterday handing out notices to the 6 homes that will be affected for these next 3 days by this road closure. And one of the residents did say that one of the workers said, you'll have to park somewhere else. Why don't you go ahead and park your car on Salins, which is right around the corner. Unfortunately, I think, I'm not sure if Chris knows it, but Salins Road has now been used to stockpile all the 4-inch plastic high-density polyethylene pipe for this project. So there is no parking on one side of Salins, and it's now closed, obviously, because of the work on Bristenstock. So I think they're scrambling to find where to park, and I guess the only place for them really to park is down at the beach where the basketball courts are on Idlewise Drive. So that's going to be quite a walk for them to get back to their homes for the next 3 days. And I'm not sure if Chris knew that the pipe was being stockpiled on Salins or when the last time he's been on site, but I guess we need to have, if it is Chris is going to be the point person, he needs to know from Ian when Ian plans on shutting the water off. And I think Ian pointed that out in an email yesterday as well. And I'm not sure Ian is too happy with the ability of the commissioners not to be able to communicate real time in situations like we've had the past couple of days with him. I'll be honest with you, I did go up, I saw Ian, and I just wanted to know, is the water back on? I don't think I was violating this, discussing with him the project, because it was a water outage. And he got into the discussion with me, he prompted it, and I said, I can't talk to you, Ian. Don't you realize that we made a motion not to talk to you or any of the engineers or contractors? And he's not happy with that. So,
Jay, can I ask you a question, Jay?
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt. So were either of the water outages this past couple of days planned outages, or were they unexpected outages?
So the first one on Tuesday was an unexpected when they hit the water main.
Okay.
Yesterday's was a planned outage. And Ian said he tried to send an email to the office, but maybe he was in a dead spot and it didn't get to us. So now that was the second one in a row. And it actually, these outages are pretty big because they affected pretty much the entire district except for what I'll call the Oak Summit pressure zone. We have 3 days of storage up there, regardless of what happens at Reinhardt. But he had to shut the tanks off at Reinhardt. So.
Okay.
We had people down in Lugano. We had people on Little Shore. We had a good portion of the district was affected.
Yeah.
We had calls from everybody.
But I think that if it was a planned outage, the problem wasn't we didn't get to talk to Chris or Dawson's. It was that Ian needed to get that information to the office, and that didn't happen. I mean, not that it was his fault, but the process was already there. And we don't need to recreate another a procedure.
No, but I'll be honest with you. So I'm just going to speak from what I witnessed Donna going through yesterday, which was very frustrating for her. But as we all know, Donna is a part-time employee and is here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So if Thursday evening after Donna leaves, Ian says, okay, we got to replace that valve tomorrow on Friday, and she's not here until the next following Tuesday, we now have no notification going out to anyone because it has to come through the office. You know what I'm saying? And so I thought it was good that Donna requested we have 48 hours of notification of any scheduled water outage.
Now, is that part of our district policy? To have that 48 hours?
Well,
email, is that something that we adopted, you know, in years past, that the water operators could give us 48 hours notice when possible?
No, I think it was 24, but that's when we had a full-time employee.
Okay.
So now that we have a part-time and we're missing Mondays and Fridays, it would make sense to be 48 hours.
Okay. So when that can't happen, I'll make a motion for Ian to contact me because I'm the one doing the MailChimp and the website updates.
Okay.
I'll second that.
And that would eliminate, and I would copy the office, obviously, so if she got phone calls, but since I'm the one doing the MailChimp and the website, and I can do it wherever I happen to be, I can always make sure that information gets out as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, the other question is, so you would be notified in the event that Donna is not here in the office so that you can get those messages out on the social media and the email blast. Now, the other question comes into play where someone on a Saturday morning has no water and they call the office, which tells them if it's a water or road issue, to dial the sheriff's office at 911. Now, the call will go to the sheriff's department, and I guess then how would the sheriff know the sheriff does know now. If it's water, they go to the Ian, and if it's road, they call Kelly. So is that how we want that to continue to proceed?
Well, that's how it happened, you know, 4 years ago. So, if the office is closed, then it has to go to some sort of a dispatch in order to contact either Ian or Kelly.
Yeah.
Maybe what we need to do here is have a district-wide email go out. It simply says, look, folks, we're having $1 million project happen in the district. Hundreds of feet, more than hundreds of feet, thousands of feet of water line are going to be replaced. Valves are going to be changed. There's going to be interruptions in water service, and we're going to do our best to communicate those with you ahead of time. But everybody in this district should be aware that there could be unexpected changes, and everyone should be prepared to, you know, everyone should be prepared for an unexpected water outage. And, again, we'll do our best to minimize it, but it is a possibility.
Yeah, I think the one of the more important ones, in addition to the water outage, is that during the pre-construction meeting, I asked a question about road closures. And the answer I got back, correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, but that there would be no road closures, that they would only use one half of the road, lay the trench box in that half, and lay the water line as they go. Now, already in just the past 2 days, we've had road closures, and it's quite obvious why. I actually foresee that Bristenstock, not the section that we're talking about for the next 3 days, which is what I call the dead-end section, but the more of the travel way of Bristenstock, is going to be closed for a good portion of this summer while they crawl up that hill laying new water line. There's no way around it. Half of the road is being cut to lay the water line, and then the other half is being used to stockpile the material that's dug out of the road. And that was not mentioned during the pre-construction. And I guess my concern is that some of the homes along all of Bristenstock, including Aspen, could be rental homes. I'm not sure if they are or not, or even just weekend homes and full-time homes. And these people, if they're renting their home out, and the renter comes to find that they can't drive to the house. That's going to be quite concerning.
Okay, with all due respect, at this point, we're off track. We've got a motion on the floor. It's not a, it's what you're talking about, Jay, is worth a discussion, but we need to stick on the task of discussing the motion that's up there.
Okay, and that's to have Kathy. Can you read that back, Donna?
To make a motion for Kathy to, for Ian to contact Kathy if the office isn't opened in regards to water outages.
Water outages. Okay, so we have a second to that by Adam.
Can we amend that? Can we amend that and just say for Ian to contact Kathy if he's unable to reach Donna in the office? I'd hate to see him leave a voicemail and then Donna's not there for whatever reason, and he thinks she got it and she didn't. So I think it should be amended to unless she reaches Donna.
Well, I would amend that to say copy me on anything he sends to the office regarding water outages. I'll ultimately end up doing it anyway, so at least they'll give me a heads up that something will be coming. So
if he
the office and Kathy Kozel for any water outage issues or any water notices that
What happens if he calls? Does he ever call, or would he only do it by email?
I don't know.
I think he normally would call, right?
Well, the other day he was sending an email the day before the outage was going to be.
So why don't we have him simply correspond only via email to both people, and then that would end the problem. If Donna's in the office, she'll get the email within a couple minutes. And if Donna's not in the office, Kathy will have it, and then the problem's solved.
At least both of us will get it, so we can, Donna and I can coordinate. If she's unavailable, I can get the details from Ian and make sure the office gets copied on anything that I do going forward.
All right, so are we amending it? Are we amending this to say?
Yeah, the email never showed up, though, Adam. I'm going to be honest.
We didn't get an email. It was stated that there was an email sent, but he may have been in a dead spot.
Well, there's nothing we can do about that.
that's irrelevant.
No,
it is relevant. Because I'll be honest with you, if your house was on fire, would you send the fire department an email or a phone call?
But he's already sending them an email. He's already sending them an email. So if he's sending an email, this motion doesn't make it any worse. It increases the likelihood. The bottom line is that wouldn't have changed it one bit. He still would have handled it the same way. If to make both, we could say, look, you got to call and email just to make sure that you've done everything possible. But I don't know. I think we're beating a dead horse at this point.
Donna and I can always respond back saying, thank you, received it, and so that he'll know that the office was notified, either through Donna or through myself.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Right. So why don't we have the motion say he's going to respond only by email, and he needs to expect an email confirmation, and if he doesn't get one, he needs to resend it.
Yeah, but folks, he's always in the field, and email service is far less applicable than a phone call. He's probably going to know whether he made contact or not if he makes the phone call, but the email, he sends it, and he's assuming, like he did this past day when you had the other outage, that it went through, but it didn't. A phone call, he will know whether he was able to get through or not.
Well, do you want him to call? And if he doesn't reach the office, to reach me? He's got my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least he will be able to say, I talked with Kathy or I talked with Donna. But to say, as he did yesterday, well, I sent an email, but I didn't realize, I guess it maybe bounced back or didn't get through.
I mean, because these are pretty timely issues, so we want to make sure that the public gets notified as quickly as possible. So if he doesn't reach the office and, you know, Donna's out for whatever reason, he can always call me, and then I'll do my best to get it out ASAP.
Because Ian's concerned when he discussed with me yesterday, he said, Jay, there will be more water main breaks. He said, I can guarantee you. It's unfortunate, but that's the nature of the beast.
Okay.
So we need to have a good process for this.
Okay, so not to stray from this motion, but do you want there to be a overall message sent out through the website and on the alert that, you know, going forward, interruptions, you know, need to be expected, and this is the reason why, you know, we've got folks on site, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Do we want to go ahead and do something like that?
Yeah, I think that would be well worth it now, because some of the same callers from the past 2 days, because a lot of people were affected by the water outage. I'll be honest with you, the residents here are very patient. So some of the same calls called 2 days in a row, but I can almost guarantee you if they have to call a third or a fourth day, their patience is going to wear a little thin.
Okay, can
so
we
I think
vote on
the
floor, please? And
yeah,
then go
so
to
we have that motion on the floor to, okay. And you, I want to make sure Donna's got it written down. You got
I'm going to rewrite it, so let's go.
Okay, you're going to go start now? Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead, Donna, can you, not Donna, Kathy, can you reword your motion?
All right, so I'll make a motion to notify Ian that he needs to confirm contact with the office or myself regarding water outages, either through email or a phone call. He just needs to get confirmation that somebody has been notified.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Just waiting for Donna to finish.
Catch up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we all second the motion.
No.
Okay, so.
Okay, any further discussion?
So, do we need to vote no on the first one, or do we need to withdraw the motion?
This is Kathy's amendment.
This is a new motion. This is Kathy's amendment. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, any further discussion on the amended motion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
All right.
And motion
so
passes.
All right, so, Adam, do you want to write up a quick 4 or 5 sentences on the overall? I don't know if maybe Jay would be better. I don't know. Who would be better? Who would rather do this, just to write up the 3 or 4 sentences?
I'll do
this
it.
Is the problem. Fine. And
you'll have it in front of you in 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'll do it while the meeting's
on. Should be expected. Do you want people to still notify the office or not?
Say that again, Kathy.
Would you, if there is a water outage, do you still want the residents to notify the office in case it may be not project related?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you still should notify the office, but you know, but to expect water outages this summer.
Yeah, we have a current water leak over on Aspen, which is not related to the project. So you know, if that pipe eventually lets go, then we'll hear about it from other people as well. So yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we just want to make sure that. Okay. So yeah. So if you could just, you know, summarize all of that, that'd be great. I'll put that out this afternoon. So now we have to. Now we're back to back to Kelly's original issue, which was about the road closures.
Right.
I would think you'd have to notify that, get a better handle on what the idea with the contractor and when he is going to close roads and for how long, and let the people know that too.
I mean, would that be the same situation where somebody at Dawson's would need to communicate to the office or myself so that we can get those notices posted to the residents?
I would think Dawson would communicate with Chris. And Chris would take care of this. He's the project manager.
Okay. Then Chris can always either get to Donna, and if not, he can always call me, and we'll get that information out there. The problem is we got the information that Briston Stock was going to be closed, but we really didn't have a solution as to what those folks were supposed to do.
Right.
That was really more the problem. And the correspondence
okay, they should have known when they at the first project meeting that they were going to close roads.
Right.
How can you not close a road when you're digging a 6-foot trench down the middle of it? And I said it at the time. You're going to close roads. Oh no, we're going to do this. That's it. So this should have been right out front. And I don't know what's going to happen next, but people aren't happy. I see the people on the road, and I stay clear of them now because they have questions that I don't have the answers to.
Yeah.
But I think you need to know Well, the people need to know roads will be closed. It's not if or the contractor needs to know that he's closing roads. It's common sense. When you dig up a road, it's going to be closed. But I think this is all on Chris. It's not on Dawson. Dawson's just doing the job. Chris should have known roads would be closed. It's up to you guys. But I think what I'd like is a sign at the bottom of Appenvale diverting trucks so they don't go straight up Appenvale. We got trucks coming from different contractors that know nothing of this project. Coleman's just hauling in sand and gravel. They don't know about a truck route or anything else. It's not their fault that they shoot straight up Appenvale because that's where their GPS is taking them. We have some small signs that Chris put out, but they really are unnoticeable. There's nothing at the bottom of Appenvale from keeping trucks from going straight up. I would at least ask that you contact Chris and have him take care of the truck route situation. Whether it takes another sign or it takes a bigger sign or a flashing fluorescent sign, whatever it takes, before we do damage to that road.
Yeah, Kelly's concerned that you could see some of the trucks that were going up by the playground in Appenvale. You can actually see because of the weight and the turning of those vehicles with eight wheels on the back, that there's a lot of called skid marks or tire marks that are left in the pavement. So there is some friction being placed on those roads. And I can only imagine when we start hauling that concrete up there for the tank that might actually start to damage that paved section of road. That's why the route is what it is, all the way over to Bristenstock and Salins in that area. But apparently now the truck's not going to be able to do that route. So the other thing Kelly brought up, and I think it is of serious concern, especially in these next 3 days on that dead-end section of Bristenstock, is that there are several culverts that are on that section of road. And if you recall last year, Kelly and the crew put in a 60 to maybe 60-foot culvert that crosses the Salins-Bristenstock intersection, which has always been a problem, and that was done very well last year. And that will be removed, as well as the other culverts that are on that dead-end section of road. Now, the question that Kelly brought up is, who's going to be on site to inspect that the culverts were properly replaced? And if Chris is only going to be here twice a month, I guess it's just going to be on the contractor to do it correctly. But there's no inspection of that when the ground is opened up, that there's proper sand underneath and gravel on top and whatever materials are used to compact those pipes. So I guess we need to find out from Chris, is there going to be any inspection and of those culverts, because they need to go back in the exact same location to capture that water and drain that road properly.
And does it make sense to try and get a conference call with Chris maybe tomorrow?
I think so.
I won't be here tomorrow. I've got a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
Maybe Monday?
Monday.
And that way, all of us are hearing the same thing at the same time, and everybody can have an opportunity to voice their concerns.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, Donna, do you think we can do that? We set up a conference call with Chris?
Yeah.
It'll be a commissioner's meeting, so I'll post it as a commissioner's meeting.
So you're working Monday, Donna?
I normally do. All right, what time?
Don't do 9 o'clock on a Monday morning.
Okay.
9 a.m.
I'll send an email out to Chris and see if he's available and let you guys know.
And I would, let him know that you're concerned about the road closure, so at least he'll have some time to investigate and put some thoughts together.
Yep.
And the other thing that I have noticed, and I think we all have noticed, is that it's getting to be quite dry, especially with this heat wave, and roads are getting a little dusty. And I know that in the contract, the contractor is responsible for what is called dust control. So how do we express to the contractor that at about this point, they need to start addressing the dust as the big trucks go by?
We can bring that up to Cliff on Monday, you know, that's their responsibility.
Okay. In general, I guess my concern would be that if a resident calls Donna and says, you know, I'm concerned about these big trucks going by and all the dust that's created, does she have the authority to contact the contractor, because she does have that authority right now, and say, you know, we've received some complaints about dust on whether it be Salins, Appenville, Edelweiss Drive, just so that they can get that message and possibly address the situation real time? Or do we have to wait for a commissioner's meeting?
No, I think that's not an emergency. Like, that's somebody's unhappy about it. It's not worth, no, we should not be having that contact.
We didn't have too many people, you know. I mean, and I think Kelly can confirm, there's people that will complain if there's a pebble in the middle of the road. So, I mean,
well, I'm going to ask Kelly. So, Donna, when a call comes in to your office here about dust, do you relay that to Kelly? And then, Kelly, how do you handle that? So, Kelly goes out and treats it almost immediately if he has time. And I would expect the contractor to do the same.
Well, the whole problem with what you're saying right now is there's no, any project, especially $1 million project, has a project manager on site or near site that takes these things and runs with them. You've got a problem, you tell him, he fixes it. You tell him, he fixes it. This should be a project manager. Even when Oak Ridge was done, there was a what they call a clerk of the works that was on site once a day, twice a day, in the area. If you had a problem, you called him immediately, he solved the problem. You didn't just say, oh, call the office, and then Don is going to contact the contractor. Don, do you have Dawson's phone number?
I don't know. probably from an invoice.
His cell phone, because he's in a ditch right now. This, it's madness. I'm sorry. It's driving me crazy because I'm dealing with it. I get people telling me their cars are dusty, which you know they will. It's not my dust, apparently. So I don't know whether to treat, don't treat. Is the words I've used, but I'm on radio right now, but on the phone, but it's aggregated. And I don't, and Don's not saying it, but yesterday, Jay says there's patient people, but there's some people that aren't patient, and they weren't very nice on the phone. And Donna had to put up with a lot of grief yesterday, and I feel bad for her. This needs to be taken more serious. It's not like people are, they'll get over it. This is Edelweiss, folks. They don't get over it.
Yeah, my concern is more long-term in that this project needs to go very successfully with at least amount of impact to our residents if we are thinking of getting other projects done in the Village District in the future. So, you know, I'd like to make a motion that if Donna gets contacted with regards to dust control, that she has the ability to talk to Chris to get that mitigated.
I'll second that.
I will.
Okay, seconded by Kathy. Any further discussion? It's very similar to what we're doing now with Kelly.
Right, but Donna does not need to be involved to that extent. It can, if someone calls, it can get on the agenda. It'll be no more than 7 days from then. It'll certainly be less. And we'll just deal with it at the next commissioner's meeting. The more hands that are in this thing, the worse we get. It needs to be centralized and dealt with in the appropriate manner, and that is not having a $1 million project worried about somebody complaining that there's dust. It can be done.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't take this,
Adam, I think...
This craziness. I am so... Right now, I think I'm done today.
No, I'm done.
Donna.
Please.
No. I think the three commissioners need to get on track for three commissioners running the village. That is not happening, and I'm sorry, but if I was a resident, which I am, I'd be calling every day to the office if I have dust coming in my windows, in my house.
Right. I'm sorry, Donna. Thank you.
Right, and we deal with it. So there's a complaint. So today we handle it the way we're supposed to.
By the way, if you didn't know, Donna just left the building.
Yeah. Hey, Adam. Donna's just gone home. Thank you very much.
My word.
Adam, I think you're out of line, and you're not really thinking. And we're trying to make this project a good project for the people to experience, and that will give us support going forward with future projects. And the answer you just gave is that a little concern about dust and is not appropriate. We do have a motion on the table.
I didn't say it was not appropriate. I said we would deal with it at the next commissioner's meeting. So if someone called on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, it would be dealt with on Thursday. We can talk to Chris now. Well, we can talk to Chris now and say, look, this has been a significant problem. We've gotten a bunch of calls. Let's please take the necessary steps to have the contractor be sympathetic of this and step up his game to make sure that we limit the dust. I mean, we have this call. This is, I'm not saying to ignore it. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying we deal with it at the next commissioner's meeting. It's no different than when Donna's not there.
Yeah, and
anybody just noticed that Donna just quit her job because of the way this is handled? And she's not going to be alone if this keeps up. I'm sorry, this is madness. The poor woman is at her wit's end.
Adam,
we had one woman stroke out because of this pressure, and now the second one storm out. This is madness.
Adam,
I'm not quitting, but I need to leave the room.
Okay,
I've never dealt with this in my life.
Adam, in the contractors are responsible for dust control. And as soon as one person complains about dust, that is to prompt the contractor to address it. Not wait 7 days for commissioners to meet and talk about it. That motion that was made, and I voted against it, you and Kathy voted for it, to me is absolutely to prevent me from getting any information on this project. I'm sorry. It's failing.
Look,
this is
we're
failing.
We're supposed to have this conversation. Look, we're supposed to have the dialogue. Kathy seconded it for discussion. We're having the discussion. It doesn't mean that we're voting yes or no on it. This is how the process is supposed to work. So we can all say, okay, like we heard that. That's a good point. So let's vote yes on this or let's vote no on this. Like, this is how the process is supposed to work. So you want to vote on it? Let's vote on it. These are reasonable things to discuss.
Okay. So we have a motion on the table to have Donna contact, I'm just reading it, Chris Albert, in the event of dust complaints.
Okay,
any
so
further
I would
discussion?
And I'm sure it's common sense that to make sure that it's related to the project too. You know, ask them, you know, what street they're on and notify Chris if it is in the construction pathway.
Yep. Okay, so we have the motion and the clarification from Kathy.
Construction, just change it to be construction-related. If the dust is construction-related.
Yep. Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
Okay. 3-0 pass. All right, thank you. And I apologize, Kelly has also left. And I know we have Doug Prescott on the call at number 18,
yes.
Little Shore. How are you doing, Doug?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah. Welcome to our meetings, Doug. Doug,
I've worked with a lot of nonprofits over the years, so it's a tough road.
Yes. I did drop by to meet with you yesterday, Doug, to see if you had had contact with Kelly, and he has not visited you yet on your driveway. I did mention to him yesterday afternoon about your driveway, so I will again see him or contact him later today to make sure he gets out and sees you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Doug, did you...
Brutally busy, but I'd appreciate, I think we could probably do a walkthrough and review the plan in 15 or 20 minutes tops, I would think.
Yep. I apologize for, he has been very busy, and but hopefully he can stop by and spend that 15 or 20 minutes with you today.
Great.
So I apologize for that. Doug, did you have anything else? I know we have you call in. You also sent an email asking to be on the agenda. So you have anything else?
No, I actually didn't today. I was just wondering if I wanted to be available if this was going to be discussed, but I didn't have anything to present or add from what's already been. I think the since the last meeting, the only update is the bond has been extended to match the permit expiration
yep.
date extension as well. So I think all of the technical things are taken care of. We just need to nail down the plan and get somebody going on it.
Okay. No, I agree. Okay. We'll make sure that Kelly gets out and speaks to you on that plan that you got, that you showed me, which is great, actually, by the way. Thank you very much, by the way, for your consideration on your drainage and how it may impact the Village District Road. We don't normally get that. People aren't as astute as you might be with respect to water damage. So,
yeah,
thank you very
pretty,
much.
It can be pretty brutal. And we had last fall, the site work folks did not properly grade at one point in the work just before a large storm and large rainstorm, and it did damage it. It cut the gullies at the edges of the road. It filled the culvert down the street with some soil. And my wife and I, the next day, couldn't get a hold of the site work company. They didn't respond. So we went and got with our trailer and got bales of hay and built everything we could to try to retain the water and control it. So we've experienced these last 6 months, 9 months, what can happen when it goes wrong. We're very sensitive to that.
No, that actually worked. It appeared like it had stopped a lot of the water flow, or at least slowed it down and
right.
trapped a lot of the sediment.
Yep.
That was good.
Exactly.
But I want to move on since Kelly's not here right now, so we'll scope over whatever else he may have had, and I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. But I want to go into the administration report. I was going to ask Donna, our administrator, to talk to the office staffing part-time hire position. As of this morning, just to let people know, we had an advertisement going to the Conway Daily Sun last week. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, was it Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yes, it was.
Okay, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the second part-time position here in the office. And as of today, we have absolutely no response. And if Donna has, in fact, I hope she has not resigned. She just got frustrated. But we could be in a mess right now. We also had an issue yesterday with our phone system. We were in the middle of a very important phone call here in the office, and the phone just cut out on us, and there was a message about maximum number of minutes have been utilized. I knew nothing about this, and nor did Donna, our administrator. So we had reached out to a resident in the Village District who helped set up our phone system. And he was able to rectify the problem at the end of the day, just before Donna left. But apparently we were limited to just 500 minutes a month on use of this phone, which we're using right now. So that resident decided to, with the access he has, change to a different plan that would give us $1,000 minutes a month. So that's an increase to our plan, $3 per month. And so he decided to go ahead and make that change. And it might have been appropriate to come through the office through Donna. And I don't think it would need to be approved by the commissioners to just have a $3 increment for a new plan. But again, the office needs to be aware of these things. And I guess the resident has now given Donna the username and password so that she can have control of the phone system moving forward. And the last thing I have here under administration is the commissioner's minutes. Donna has been working very hard getting these minutes all typed up from March 12th all the way now to April 23rd. And I'm going to ask for someone to entertain a motion to approve these minutes, including the one of 4/17, which was the bid discussion, which was amended by Adam. And I have a copy of those amended minutes, and I think I sent those out last night to everybody as well.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of that 4/17 meeting that you sent out, but I haven't seen any of the other minutes. So I'll only make a motion to approve those amended minutes you sent out today.
No, I think she sent them out last week.
So the draft, we didn't see the 3/12 minutes. That was something new. So I need to get, I don't even have a copy of 3/12. So if Donna comes back to work, hopefully we can get a copy of the March 12th meeting minutes. And is there a meeting in the week of the 16th? Or to go from the 12th to the 24th?
That's a good question. I noticed that jump too. There was no meeting on 3/16. I remember you were going to be out of town, and Adam couldn't make that meeting either because of a previous obligation.
Okay, all right.
That's right. Okay, yeah, I remember that. So do we do have 3/24, 26, 4/2, 4/9, 4/16. And, of course, as Adam just mentioned, 4/17. Kathy, do we have 4/23 as well? I don't have my computer on right now.
I don't have 4/23.
Okay. Do we want to approve?
All we have is handwritten minutes on those. So
No.
These are all typed up.
I haven't seen them typed.
The drafts are on the website.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I haven't seen them. So if you guys want to approve them, I'm going to abstain on every one of them other than 4/17.
And okay. on one of them, I did make the correction when it was, yes, you did, because remember, it said 76% versus 24% on the,
right.
Yep. So that was one of those weeks. So I did make that adjustment to those minutes.
Yep. Yep.
Right. I saw that on the handwritten copy, not on the printed copy.
Okay. I never saw the handwritten copy. And the other thing, Joe, I wanted to ask you, I think it was on the 4/17 minutes.
Yep.
And we're talking about that same thing on how the grant was to be applied, and I don't know if it was just an error, but it said that the legal fees were coming from the waterline extension fund, and the legal fees were being posted to the water system budget.
Waterline extension.
The capital reserve fund.
Yeah. Oh, the budget. It said water system budget?
No, it said water line extension fund.
Yeah.
There's no money in the water line extension fund to be doing that, by the way.
Right, and we weren't going to do it anyway. What it should have said was the legal fees for Greg M. to secure the loan was we voted and made a motion to take that as a line item in the water budget under legal.
Okay.
So I don't know if it just went wrong, or if it was said wrong, or if we need to amend it.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get it from one of the funds and not the budget.
No, the legal fees to secure the loan were coming from a line item in the water But, and you said that once before, so I said, oh, good, you did know that, but maybe that the minutes just got typed up inaccurately. You can't take it out of the Waterline Extension Fund. That wouldn't make sense.
Okay, so I guess, did I say it wrong during the meeting, or is it wrong in the minutes?
That I don't know.
By the way, for those folks, including Donna especially, because she requested this, we were able to, Donna was able to take the audio files, and they are now separate files, just like an email would be, or a document. So we plan on putting the audio files in replacement of the video files that Madison TV used to do for us, somehow on our website. But for now, anybody who might be requesting an audio file recording of our minutes, you are eligible to receive those. We'll send them to you by email. So thank you, Dinah, for requesting that. It wasn't too hard to do that. And so we're able to provide that to residents who want to have the recordings of these minutes, these meetings, I should say. So going back to the motion on these minutes.
I'm trying to find it, Joe. We had voted on the legal fees to secure the municipal financing was going to be coming from the water budget.
Right, and what did we have in the legal line item for the water budget, though? Was it large enough?
No, but we had a large enough number on repairs, and we're already almost halfway through the year, that it would, even though it wasn't, we would overspend the line item in legal, but we will underspend the repairs line item.
Right. Well, you know, that I have a concern about, because, of course, the water main break on Tuesday down on Salins, is that money going to be taken from the project? Because that was unexpected. Or is that now considered a water main break that is going to come from the repair line of the water budget?
Well, we haven't decided that yet.
Right.
So we have a choice of what to do with it.
Why should
Go ahead,
we
Donna.
Be paying that break at all? It wasn't our fault. It was the construction people, so they should be responsible for it.
Right.
Okay, there it is right there. Okay. All right, yeah. So on 417,
yeah.
make a note. On 417, there's a paragraph that says, Paula Doyle wants to know how the already incurred expenditures will be paid for. And it was explained that the cost of the $7,000 for securing the bond will come from the Waterline Extension Fund. So that's
okay.
Incorrect. Okay.
All right.
So I want to make a motion to amend the 417 minutes to change Waterline Extension Fund to Water System Budget.
Okay. So here's my question, though. Did I actually state Waterline Extension Fund? In other words, the minutes would be accurately reflecting what I said, though the mistake would be what I said, and we could make a note, an amended note, that what I stated during the meeting was wrong.
I don't know if it matters. The way it was typed is the way it was typed. So I will highlight, like you did on your amendment to that same meeting, and
yeah.
We're approving the amended just to make sure it's clear, because there's a lot of concern about how we're paying for this stuff, so I think it's important to get that particular thing correct.
Okay. All right, so you're making a motion then to amend it to the water budget. We may leave the text Water Extension Fund, but the true funding will come from the budget.
Correct.
Okay, got it. I'll make that.
I made the motion.
Yep. I'll second the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye. Okay.
I said yes. I got to leave now, but yes on that one. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's it on the minutes. We'll just deal with the 417 and deal with the other ones later on if everybody wants to have access to those audio files just to verify things.
And like I said, the draft minutes, all the ones I got, I did get up on the website.
Okay. Got it. Great. Thank you.
And Jay,
okay.
Can you send me one of the audio files? And I'll see how if I can get that on the website. You have those available?
Yeah. So Donna's left the computer on, so I'll be able to get into that and do that for you.
Okay. Just send me one just so I can practice and see if I can do that.
Yeah, we tried to send Mark Raffam all of the files yesterday, but I think, to be honest with you, all of them together were far too large to send through email. Okay,
send
to you.
Link to it.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
At this point, I think we're pretty much done with administration, both operations as well as office. And I will open it up to the listening audience if anyone has any questions on anything that was discussed this morning or any concerns regarding administration. So the floor is yours for anyone who wants to speak. Please identify yourself.
Hi, this is Paula.
Hi, Paula.
I just have, a public comment about the whole issue with the way the water project's being managed. I think I know why that was put in place that are proposed to have none of you guys talk to the contractors. But I mean, just because this guy Chris, the engineer, is the project manager, he's not a district employee. He's not an elected official, and somebody still has to hold him accountable, and he has to be managed. The fact that. I would just really recommend that you guys rethink that motion you made in policy last week, because you have this huge project going on, and the fact that something could happen this afternoon, and it's going to be 7 days before you guys can deal with it. And you need to have either one commissioner or all three commissioners have the ability to talk to these folks. It's irresponsible, in my opinion, that we just have a contractor who's just sort of been given carte blanche to manage this project without anybody really holding him accountable day to day. And I mean day to day, hour to hour. You've got water mains breaking. You've got, stuff going on. You guys are the clients here, and you need to manage this project, and you need to be overseeing it aggressively. So I'm very concerned that there's real, very light oversight of this project going on. As a taxpayer, and given already what we've seen happening, and given how the issues you had with your employees this morning and how they reacted to you, you're all sort of just we'll deal with it whenever next meeting. I don't know. I just wanted to make that comment. I'm really concerned about that as a citizen. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
This is Dinah. I would like to second Paula's comments. We have never had a project in the village where there hasn't been local management, i.e. somebody who lives here or whatever. It can't work with Chris Albert coming here every 2 weeks. It has to be, like Paula says, hands-on. Is the dust flying up here? We need help with that. Is the water main there? Whatever. And by the way, we are paying Chris Albert $39,000 to do this. So I don't know how he's earning his money right now.
Well,
Somebody should be in charge of watching these people.
Well, Dan, that's why we voted to have a conference call with Chris on Monday morning.
And what's that going to do?
Well, and to include Kelly and to express our concerns and to let him know that, this district is a little unique and that we have to answer to a slew of people, and the way it's going is not ideal.
This shouldn't be news to somebody like Chris Albert with all of his experience. Come on now.
Well, I did.
Yeah, the only thing I can say to both Paula and Dinah, based on my experience of being here in the district for over 30 years now, is that the projects that I remember happening whether it be the most recent one, which I call the Lower Oak Ridge Reconstruction. We hired a gentleman in Madison to be what is called the clerk of the works. I do remember the cross-country water main, which is from Jungfrau Station to Reinhardt. Peter Craw was the commissioner, one of the three commissioners at that time, and he was the clerk of the works. And I have here in my hand a logbook that he wrote down notes and ledge depth measurements, all sorts of information in regards to that project as he was on site pretty much every day. He has since passed away, so it was no longer available to us to do that type of work. These are the things I think that Dinah and Paul are referring to, is that if we were having our kitchens remodeled, I think most any one of us would not just move out of our house for 4 weeks and go to a hotel and then come back to see what happened. We would pretty much go into the kitchen every day to see what was going on, and to make changes if necessary, or at least expect that correspondence between the contractor and the homeowner. This is a much larger project, and I think would obviously deserve much larger scrutiny. The other thing I do want to make a motion here, because I thought about this and actually reached out to the town of Madison. I'd like to make a motion that we fill out a building permit application for this project. And there's a simple reason for doing that. The code enforcement officer is just a second set of eyes to make sure that all the installation of electrical or plumbing is being done in accordance with code. There is no cost to getting a building permit because we are in a municipality. But it's what I call a second doctor's opinion of the work that's being done, because I'm not an expert in this area. I can't tell you whether something is up to code or not. I could probably research it, but I can't tell you off the top of my head like this individual would. It would also be a form of a record that would be kept with Madison Town Hall of when our tank was constructed and contracted and all the other pertinent information. So I'm placing that motion on the table that we apply to the town of Madison for a building permit for this project. Do I have a second, Kathy?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion, Kathy, on the permit?
Okay. I'm okay with this map. So.
All right. Let me just write this down. I'm taking the minutes now, too, by the way, unfortunately. All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye. Okay. All right. Thank you. Again, in my discussion with Bob and whether he would actually do this, he said yes, but because of the COVID-19 restrictions, he's going to ask for a lot of pictures, so he doesn't have to physically be on site. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to, again, open it up to anybody on the audience if you have any other concerns or questions regarding the administration. Hearing none, I will move on to the next section, which is accounts payable.
Okay.
Let me just open that.
Jay, are you in the office by yourself?
I sure am.
Okay.
We have a manifest for, I'll read it off to you here, $9,426.78. And let me read those off to the audience. We have Kath's bookkeeping, and this is Catherine Yeo, I believe is her pronunciation of her last name, and she's been helping Donna with QuickBook tips and secrets, and also looking through some of our accounting. And let me just make sure I get. Yeah, so I got, I want to make sure that the checks match up. $187.50 for her time spent over the past couple of weeks in the office with Donna. I have a check for Health Trust. This is our employees and health insurance. $4,474.68. I have a check for Lowe's business account. This is Lowe's, the hardware store. $256 even. I have a check for Styles Company for $4,508.60. So that's all I've got, which totals up to $9,426.78. Do I have a motion to approve those four checks for that amount?
Yes.
Okay, Kathy?
Yes.
All right. No, I'm just Kathy motioned, and I will second. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Sorry, Jay, that you're having to do all this.
I'm signing checks, writing minutes, and approving motions all at the same time. Wonderful.
I'll be
no
back
problem.
Tonight. I can go in tomorrow and sign this stuff.
Okay, thank you. All right. Let me jump back to my agenda here. Okay. We have signature. Excuse me. Does anybody have any questions on accounts payable or the manifest? Hearing none, thank you very much. Signature items. We have a truck loan application. Sorry, I spelled that application wrong. And I believe, Dinah, did you come in and sign that application for that loan? Dinah? Oh, I think we might have lost Dinah. So we had a truck. Oh, okay.
I'm here. What was the question again?
So we had the truck loan application from Bambi, and that's all set. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay, I believe it is. Let me just check, make sure here. It's not. Let me just make sure. Maybe in the packet, it may not. But I believe it's down here for you to sign.
I can come down later and look at it, Jay.
Okay.
I sent her the application, so.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
We did get Bambi the draft audit, which they would accept. There was a couple
good.
Of copies
okay.
of information from the delivery of the truck, and then I believe the title showed up in the mail yesterday, and Donna emailed her or faxed her over a copy of that. I believe
yep.
she has everything
okay.
she needs.
All right, I'll come down later and see the emails. I guess it's just a matter of getting a closing date, and I would like to have two payments a year.
Okay.
I'm thinking that this is so late, maybe the first payment could be in January and August, because that's
right
when our checks come. So I'll check that out with her. I'm sure she'll be agreeable to that.
Yeah, I think that's the way the original interest schedule was shown to us, is that the first year we were just going to pay interest, and then the second year we stopped paying interest and principal. So that'd be fine.
I'll verify that with her and get back to y'all.
Great. Thank you, Dinah. Okay. We don't have any committee reports. Going down to the water system, we did get a correspondence from the gentleman at number 10 Barton Place. He's actually building a home. He has an approved water hookup. And the question that Ian Hayes has to us, I mentioned this last week to think about it, is there is a gap in the water line on Barton Place. It comes in, Barton Place is a, I'll call it a horseshoe-shaped road. But there's a water line that comes in from Burn Drive on one end and another water line that comes in from the other end. But the two do not meet. Now, the gap between those two dead-end pipes is unknown. So the question is,
but Jay, but I think we approved up to $1,000 last week to have him probe the area to find out what the length of that gap is. And then once he came back to us and said it's 300 feet or 800 feet, and it's going to cost X amount of money, then we can make a decision as to whether or not to move forward with closing that gap.
Yep. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm just writing down that we need to let Ian know that.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Donna had sent Ian that information. $1,000 to probe.
I think it was $1,000. Don't quote me on that. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I'll go back to her a minute. All right. All right. We also have the hookup at number 22 Interlaken is now complete. This, by the way, was another water hookup where the road was actually closed, but we didn't get notified until it was half done. So, again, all about the communication we talked about earlier. I had asked everybody to think about the water shutoffs and the liens on outstanding users who have not paid in more than 2 years, and what our thoughts are with possibly pursuing putting liens against those properties, or what we might do. There's also one outstanding property owner who we did take to court. This is a long time ago, before Kathy, I, or Adam were in office, and that gentleman was made to pay, and I forget what it was, $25 a month or something to that effect, and a couple of payments were made, and then they just simply dried up.
About a year and a half ago, they stopped paying.
Yeah.
Over a year and a half ago, probably 2 years ago.
I'm going to, you know, I know Adam had a drop, so I'm going to actually, I'd like him to be part of the conversation. So I'm going to defer this conversation to hopefully our next meeting.
What we were hoping for was to get a list of the property addresses and the amount. Now, some of these, you know, where the house burnt down and we know the history of the unpaid bills, you know, it may not make sense to pursue those. One of them is owned by the town of Madison, so we'll probably have to write off that amount. But we were going to just get a list together of those seven or eight properties that we keep showing those 2 year unpaid water bills.
Yep. Okay. I'm writing this down, Kathy. Thank you. All right. All right. Okay, Ian has reported to us that we have a leak on Aspen underneath the paved section of road, and he's waiting for Granite State Rural Water Association to bring their leak detection equipment out so that we can isolate that. Unfortunately, with paved roads, water usually doesn't show up unless there's a crack in the road, but it doesn't indicate that the water main break is directly beneath it. That's why they need to have the testing equipment for that. Ian has also flushed the water system, and that has been completed. And also there was concerns with, Donna had brought up that the flushing notification came the day before they were actually doing it, which gave us very little time to notify the residents.
I don't think that's true. I think he sent the email on Monday. I saw it on Wednesday. We assume he meant Thursday the 28th, and it wasn't.
Right.
It was Thursday the 21st, which is the day that we discussed it. So Ian did send the email to the office on Monday. So
yeah.
So he did give us 48 hours notice, and it slipped through the cracks on our end.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. All right. Just, you know, he did the right thing on that particular quote, on that particular the water flushing.
Right. Now, we did get an email this morning from Chris Albert on the 19 homeowners regarding that service line replacement. And
I received him again this morning, and he replied, you know, at 8:30 that how we're going to. Now, they're already starting to replace the water line on Briston stock, correct? Okay. Okay.
Don't stop working yesterday. The water leaves look like dust. I don't know. Jay, did I lose you? Only an hour and 15 minutes. You get your 2 hours at cut off.
Not 2 hours.
Oh, Dinah, you're still there?
Yep.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Kathy. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. I know. I don't know what Jay's got going on up there. Yeah, because like you said, it was usually 2 hours where we had to hit the renew button or else it would disconnect us. So what else? Is there something else? Is there anything on here that we had to do?
I don't have an agenda.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Jay.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
The host. Well, the host
coming
is
back.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this phone system, but we got to do something about this. I'm back
on
my phone.
How about calling a professional in?
That's a great idea. I tried that, Dinah, and it didn't work. But we will talk about it at our next meeting. This is unprofessional.
Now, is this the 800 number, though, issue with the free conference calling?
No, I think it's this Polycon conference call machine that we have here on the desk.
Okay.
We might have to get a new one of those, but then there's also issues that Donna has with the other phone in front of her desk. I'm just not sure about how the entire system really works, but yeah. Maybe.
That's what happens like when you have volunteers.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it seems to Andrew, when he set up the call-centric account, he said, would we ever go over 500 minutes in a month? And the answer was no. So he said, okay, we'll take the 500 a month minute plan, but certainly having to use our phone for these dial-in commissioners meetings pushed us up over that limit. So that happened. That's how that happened.
Right.
And we're okay. On May 28th. We almost made it to the end of the month.
Yep.
But now that Donna's got the account and the password, she'll be able to, whomever will be able to manage that system from the office.
Yeah. But we might have, you know, just, I know the Polycom that he purchased for the district was off of eBay. It was used, but we may, and it can only actually have two users on it at one time. In other words, we can't have multiple people dialing in. We can through the website, but we can't through this phone alone. It is a conference phone, but it only allows for two callers to dial in to this office, no more than two. Okay, anyhow, so moving
let's go.
On. Those 19 homeowners that are may be impacted by the new service line, if they wish to do so, I can certainly get those addresses. That's what Chris was asking for. Not sure if you said anything when we got cut off, but...
Well, I think what he just said, it was the 4 on Aspen, 1 on Reinhardt. Now, is there a second, isn't there a, when you go up Reinhardt, isn't there a big log house on the left side?
Yeah. There's 2 houses on Reinhardt.
He said 1 on Reinhardt. Now, does one of those two homes have a well?
I know the big one at the top, our closest to the new tank, that does have a water connection to our system. Unless the log cabin would be the one that would be on a well if he's saying there's only one. But I believe they have a water system as well. But I can look at the database here and get those addresses in no time at all.
Okay. All right. Because I just and to Adam's point, we want to make sure. And I mean, if they're in the process now of dropping that new water line, so if they're going past the houses that are one of the 19, those folks might miss their opportunity.
That's right.
And if we've got to send them certified letters, I mean, how are we going to get that out, like, tomorrow or Monday?
Yep. We'll try to work on it as quick as possible, I guess.
Yeah. I'll be around Friday morning if there's something, if you wanted to anyway, I don't know how we're going to coordinate this, but, I mean, I can certainly help you Friday until about noontime.
Right. And you saw the letter that I had drafted for those 19.
Yep.
I believe we approved that letter, right?
Yeah, we did. We said we both agreed it was a little wordy, but we approved the letter.
Yeah, okay. So all we need to do now is get the addresses of those 19 homeowners, and we can patch that together. And then if we are going to have another commission meeting on Monday with Chris, maybe we can talk about it then.
Okay. Well, I mean, you may be more familiar with the top of Bristenstock. The water line that they're lying down right now, is that going in front of some of those homes, or are they still in the vacant lot area?
Say that again. I'm not sure I understood.
So they're already laying down water main, correct?
Starting today, yes.
Okay. So are they going in front of some of those homes that could potentially want additional service lines or replacement service lines added?
Yes. So here's my understanding, and again, this is just an assumption, Kathy, of mine.
Okay.
Is that they're going to lay that water line, and I can't go talk to them. They're going to lay that water line in the road, but they're not going to do the curb stop connection in these next 3 days.
That was my concern. That was my concern.
Right. They're just laying the line, and then the connection, I believe, again, this is an assumption, and I may be totally wrong, and I probably am, because I've never won the lottery. But my assumption is that the connections to those service lines will be done at a later date.
So do we want to make a motion to have you contact Chris regarding the timing of the curb stop valve and service line from the main to the curb stop valve?
Yeah, I'll second that motion if that's the motion you want to make.
I want to make that motion, yeah. Because I don't want to, you know, we should have done this 3 months ago, but we didn't, to notify
right.
those 19 homeowners. And we just kept kicking it around, and it should never got done. So,
right.
Okay, so I make a motion to allow Jay Buckley to contact Chris regarding the timing of the service line hookups to the 19 properties.
Okay, I'll second that. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So, Jay, could you do this? Could you put on the spreadsheet the 19 names and their mailing addresses, not necessarily their Edelweiss address, but their mailing address from that property list that we get from Madison? And
yep.
if you send me the 19 names and you send me a copy of your letter, I can mail
yep.
merge, I'll print the letters, and then I'll go to the town and I will get them the certification coupon all filled out for those 19 people.
Yep.
So if you can get me the information, I will do the mailing. You and I can't sit down and do it together, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if we can hold them on Friday, and then I don't know if we want to get them in the mail ASAP, or do we want to wait till Monday?
We might want to wait till Monday, because the mail's not going to really move over the weekend anyhow.
Okay, and then that way you'll have an opportunity to hopefully get some information from Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But at least you'll have them all ready to go. Okay, all right. So if you could do that, so just send me a copy, a spreadsheet of the names, and make sure it's the address that they get their tax bill sent to, not necessarily their Edelweiss address. And,
yeah.
And then up on the wall in the office by the door is a list of the 24 or so properties that are on Wells. So
right.
I'm curious why he only said one house on Reinhardt.
I know. I'm curious, too. Unless
okay.
it was just so obvious he missed it.
Yeah. Or they're on a well, but I don't know the answer to that. Or you can always check the water bill, too. Find out who the owner is, and we can check in QuickBooks. Or I can check in QuickBooks
yeah.
to see if we sent him a water bill.
Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. And then we had the... Greg M. had sent in the entire documentation for the $388,800 loan for
yep.
our record. So Donna
okay.
has printed that out. two-sided paper and put that in a separate file. We have to hold on to that document till the year 2038.
Okay.
Will you remind yourself then to remove it from the file cabinet?
And we can spread it in 2038. Yeah, I'll let you know.
All right, thanks. You have my number, right?
Yes, I do. I'll call you. I'll drop the documents off in your mailbox.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? This is the end of our water system discussion. Does anybody have any questions on the water system? Any concerns?
I do.
Okay.
This is Dinah.
Go ahead, Dinah.
Thanks, Kathy, for putting all that information on the website. That's very good. The bid from Dawson that's on there, the base bid and all the alternatives, added alternatives, I guess they're called. Anyway, that all adds up to $1.3 million.
Okay.
So how's that going to work with $1.3 million?
The additive alternatives are the Upper Lakeview and Middle Shore. There's like three or four other projects there, and if there's money left over in the contingency of, I don't know, with $150,000, I guess, in the contingency, whatever's left there, then we may be able to do some of those other projects. So the way that that package was put together, there was a lot of work bid on, but we would never be able to do all of it. There was some options at the end of the Reinhart project that if there was money left over, we could pick and choose what we wanted to do going forward. But I think his if you looked at that, they call it the bid, where it had all three of the bids lined up, what's the word he used? It's a spreadsheet where it's Jones and Beach's estimate of the project, and then it had Drew and Brooks and then Dawson. And that came to 1.249, which was, when you roll it all back up, is the 869.4 plus the 295 plus the 85. So this whole Reinhart project that we're doing, which includes doing what, Jay, a PRV pit on Upper Lakeview and a PRV pit at Jungfrau as well?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and the 4,400 feet of water main. That all will fall under that 1.249.
I hope so. So when you talk to Chris on Monday, can he give you sort of an estimation? I mean, I looked at all the added alternatives, and it looks like Middle Shore and some other roads are going to have new line put in. And it looks like it goes from West Bergamo down Little Shore and then down Middle Shore. Do they have any type of a time frame as to when these projects will be done? I mean, they can't do them all at once, I understand.
Right, but those additive alternatives are only if we can use the contingency money. So the total $1,249,000 that we have to spend is only for that entire Reinhart project. So that map that I put on the website, that's where all those funds will be consumed, with the exception of the two PRV pits, Jungfrau and Upper Lakeview. So if there's money left in the contingency fund, then the commission will decide which of those additional projects we can have done, if any of them. And then that'll be like a whole nother project, scheduling and all of that. So right now, the Middle Shore and the Upper Lakeview waterline replacement is not on the agenda.
Okay, even though the maps are in the plan.
Right, but the plan that I put on the website was strictly the Reinhart project. So that's the one that we know we're getting done for sure. That's been approved. The other ones are optional projects.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, hopefully that was clear.
Yep.
All right, great.
Thank you,
Kathy. Thank you, Dinah.
Do you agree with that, Jay? Is that correct,
yeah.
Jay?
Yeah,
okay.
As a matter of fact, one thing I was going to add. So if you look at some of those other large alternate additive projects, Dinah, there is a total price tag to a lot of those, and that amount of money either is equal to what's left in contingency or greater than. So when you look at those projects, those are the projects that I'm thinking about would be those brought to the voters in the next year, 2 or 3 years, for the next phase of improving the water system, which is why I'm hoping that this one goes very well, so that we have that support when we go back to the voters and say, okay, the next project will be, and we ask for your support type of thing.
Yep.
The way this project's going, not get it.
Well, we have time to fix things.
And when you talk to Chris on Monday, I think it's really important to nail down whether he's going to be responsible for all these water main breaks, or is the village?
Yeah. I believe, and I'm not even going to state it, but what I gleaned and remembered from the contract is that if a water main is broken, it is the responsibility of the contractor to fix that. But I don't know, to your question, costs, how that cost would be incurred by the contractor. Obviously, when you're digging in a road, you suspect there might be a pipe there. There's a certain way to dig. It's very slowly and it's very methodical. But if they do...
And if they don't do it, it's going to break pipes.
Yeah, and no, exactly. And so I believe I read that in the contract. I'd have to go back to get a definitive answer for you. But I believe it's the responsibility of the contractor should they break a water main, and that the water main, there's also some contingency in there, that the water main must be fixed within a certain period of time. And that's basically within the same day. You don't let a water system go overnight without water. So that's, I think, a DES rule.
It might be nice to have that verbally confirmed.
Yep. Okay. Good point, Dinah. Appreciate it. Okay. I'm going to jump down to commissioners' reports. Very simple. We have a canoe kayak auction coming up this Saturday at 8 a.m. down here at the office.
I'll repost that, Jay, because I did make a mistake. I put the 31st instead of the 30th, so I apologize. You have to make sure you get a key from Kelly so that the gate's open. I'm not sure if you're going to pull the boats out near the front or leave them around back.
Yeah, I'm going to pull them up to the fence and then have the audience stand on the other side of the fence, social distance, of course.
Okay.
And then we're going to open off each boat one by one. And then I'll have each of the winning bidders drive around to pick up and load their kayak and canoe and fill out some paperwork and drive away.
So you'll have to get a key from Kelly, because he's not going to be in tomorrow, and I'm not sure if Jeff has a key for that gate.
Yep. No, I already talked to him about it. We should be all set.
Okay.
I'll
post the correction on the date.
All right. And just so you know, what I plan on doing is taking a picture of each watercraft in whatever information may be available, such as the manufacturer, the color, the size. Record that on a piece of paper and have the winning bidder sign that piece of paper, and then we'll get copies of that so that we have a record of what we did on that day.
Right. If somebody shows up in two months now looking for their boat to buy it out of Hawk.
It has happened, and I actually had one of those boats, and I simply just gave it back to them, even though I paid for it. So.
Okay.
And then we have the audit management discussion analysis for the audit. I did update those two numbers that were in for the total assets and the total, I think it was the general fund, I think that Dinah was concerned about. Did you get a chance to read that, Kathy?
I did. What I had asked before for last week was to put in last year's unassigned fund balance compared to this. The 18 unassigned balance versus the 2019. So I didn't see the comparison of the unassigned fund.
Okay.
And I just thought that was important to put in there.
Because I noticed that the numbers actually changed significantly from what the original draft had just a couple months ago.
Well, the difference should be the $56,000, because that's the money that originally was put back into the unassigned fund,
and we were up close to $300,000. But then when we realized that that money had to be held over, and we're going to be using that money to make the Reinhardt payments going forward until we've spent that $59,000, then we'll start using the operating budget. But I think if that's about the right amount of difference, that's where that came from.
Right, correct. Yep.
Okay.
All right. I'll go ahead and put that in there. So do we want to vote on this? Go ahead.
Well, you said that in 2019, the voters appropriated the highway budget, a water budget. Other articles appropriated by the voters totaled zero. So in 2019, so you need to have the new number in there.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking I only had to update those two numbers based on some of those journal entry changes.
Yep. So just check. Cause I think the unassigned fund the previous year was 213 or 218, and now it's 200 and almost 240. So.
Right. Okay. I'm just writing this down. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. I'll add that in there.
Okay.
I apologize. All right. For that. I was hoping to do that already today.
That's why we have three people looking at it.
That's okay. Thank you. Signature items, other than Diner, if you do have a chance to come down and look at that automobile, truck loan, I believe you have a signature that you need to add to that. And moving into correspondence, we've got quite a bit of correspondence this week. I need to talk to the folks, and I promised to do this earlier. At 116 Idolized Drive, this is in regards to that Deuces Culvert project from a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We also got a correspondence from Mark on the executive order number 23 regarding our commissioners' meetings or meetings in general.
Did that get resolved, Jay? Are we complying with the most recent order from the governor's office?
Yes, I believe we are, and I made sure that I talked to Donna yesterday. I made sure that she did send that reply that we received from the NHMA to Mark, explaining that what we're doing is compliant with the current emergency orders based on what the governor has prescribed as far as public meetings.
And I asked somebody in Madison. Madison's not providing any kind of a room where residents could congregate under 10 people and listen to the meeting. So they're not doing that either.
A public place, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that their selectmen are actually meeting at their lower meeting room at Town Hall. So they are forming a physical quorum in the same room. So that room then becomes the public room. And I spoke with Linda about it. She says that if so much as 11 people walk in through the door by the police station, the meeting is over. Even though they may not all be in the same room, you can still hear out in the hallway. So as far as they're concerned, if they go beyond 10 people, the meeting is over. So that's the fear that they have by having all selectmen come to the same room. Whereas we're avoiding that by only calling in remotely. I think that's
okay.
The big difference.
Okay. All right. Okay, as long as we've done our due diligence, that we've made sure that the way that we're conducting our meetings meets the most current standard from the state.
Yeah. So speaking of standards, the governor is going to be reporting tomorrow on possibly the next lifting of restrictions. So I'm going to pay close attention to that and any changes to meeting rules or anything in regards to legalities of municipalities.
Yeah.
We also got an email correspondence from Doug. We spoke with Doug earlier in this meeting. So, Doug, mm-hmm. you're still on. I thank you for that. We got an email from Terry Warren about the pond levels. And as we mentioned earlier, Kelly is going to be putting a 4-inch board back in. She also had concern about the widening of Idlewise Drive, and I know that we've had these discussions before. I'm not sure if you want to make Idlewise Drive more narrow, or if it's safer to be more wide. Her concern is that it's a safety issue, and she also brought up the issue of dust. But I know Kelly and crew have put down calcium, and as a matter of fact, they're doing it again today.
Have we ever responded to any concerns about the roads by stating that the way the village was incorporated, that the district owns the, is it 40 feet or 50 feet?
It's 40.
That the district owns the 40-foot roadway, and basically they can, the center of the road does not have to be in the center of the 40 feet. It can be wherever the DPW feels it's best suited to be.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we've ever had to correspond to anybody else regarding that issue, or if people realize that unlike most municipalities, where the center line is generally the center line of the where the two abutting properties meet, ours is a little bit different.
That is correct. Ours is a deeded piece of property, whereas most roads are what is called the right of way through private property, where there's a center line and a certain width that's taken by the right of way. But yeah, you're correct. There have been other people that discussed or questioned the 40 feet. Why isn't the road in the center of the 40 feet? And it's all because of you might have ledge underneath. You may have other obstructions that you're trying to go around. So it has come up before. I know that.
Okay. Now, do we have is there a surveyed plan that shows that 40 feet, you know, specifically in front of the section where Terry's home is?
As far as I know, if there's anybody else on the call that may also know the history of surveys of our Idlewise Road, I don't believe there's actual surveying where you would find pins or markers or anything of that sort. The way I understand it was done is an aerial photograph taken of this area as it's forested, and they drew lines on the map and said these will be the roads. And just dig approximately as shown. Then lots were created off of those roads, and those lots were surveyed. So the
okay.
only surveys I have are the surveys of the lot. And I know in the situation with Terry Warren, I did walk her property with her last year, and she has pins that show her corners. And we were able to identify, and I said, this pin is the boundary between your property and the district's property. So it was clear that the road was not into their property, but actually it was very close to their side of the road, if you want to call it. The travel way was to their side, not to the other side of that 40-foot span.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's no requirement for the district to have the road within the center of that 40-foot property?
No, there's no requirement at all. Nope.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was clear and that the public knew that, because it is a little different than under normal municipality road rules.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We had an email from Adam, his correspondence with NHMA on the Little Loop, the driveway. We also have correspondence from the EPOA. There was a voicemail that was left. I don't know if you were able to listen to that, Kathy, from Bev Matatol. And
I knew
that.
Yeah. I was aware, but yeah.
Yeah, they want to be able to use the beaches as in the past for the month of July and a date in August, both in single days, for their annual barbecues on the beach. And I'm just going to ask that we defer to answer this yet until we find out from tomorrow what the governor decides to do with congregation of 10 or more people, and then also what Madison is going to do with regards to beaches. John Rochez, the EPOA president, also said that a resident was asking him about low water levels.
I hate to derail you, but... Are not our water levels higher now than they've been in years?
No, it's been pretty dry the past 2 weeks. And the water levels are down about, I'd say, 6 to 8 inches below the top of the concrete.
But I thought with the loon drawdown that they were substantially lower.
In past years? Yeah. I was going to say, I believe that they're higher this year than they would have been in past years. But I'll be honest with you, I really have not been looking at past years as to where the water level is around this time of year. I mean, I heard about what it was supposed to be, but physically, can I show you a photograph? I can't. I don't have that information.
And I was just surprised at the concern since that we had been lowering the water. I thought, you know, another 6 to 10 inches for the loon nesting, and this year we didn't do that. The loon, you know, fortunately overcame that by building up a little higher. So that led me to believe that the water levels are higher this year at this time than they had been in the last 4 or 5 years anyway.
Yeah, there's one, Kelly told me yesterday, there's one 10-inch board that is out, and he's now planning on putting a 4-inch back in.
Okay. So hopefully those concerns will be alleviated.
Yeah, and to your point, I'm glad to actually have seen where the loons were building the nest higher earlier this spring because they did realize the water was going to be higher than they expected. So they were able to adapt. And let's see. So John Roche has also wanted to know when the racks would be open. Again, that is a decision based on what the governor says tomorrow and then what Madison does on Tuesday's meeting. So we'll talk about that next week. A lot to talk about next week with regard to the beach opening. We have correspondence from a Mr. Frank Grasso. He is at number 10, Jungfrau. And if I go back in history, this was, I believe, is an individual who was told after 911 remapping back in the year 2000, 20 years ago, that his house was number 8. And that was a mistake. He's actually number 10. And I believe the district said that they would at least accommodate his change because he has to change all his paperwork, including his deed, that registry of deed, that the district would accommodate him with a new sign indicating the number 10 on the outside of his house.
Okay.
So he's asking, where has that sign been? And I guess it's been over a year because this was when Nancy was in office.
This isn't familiar to me at all.
You say it again?
I don't recall seeing this request in the last, you know, since October when we started looking at the office email.
Right, exactly. I think, and maybe I can do a search, but I can go back into the minutes. I remember seeing this in the minutes, but this is like a year or so ago, even more than a year ago.
I think it's before I became a commissioner. I don't remember this at all.
It is. It is before you became a commissioner.
Okay, so a year and a half. So now we're talking a year and a half ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's more than – it's before you and Adam and myself. But I do remember this.
So who provides those – the Edelweiss logoed number signs?
So those signs are provided by the EPOA.
Okay.
There is another thing that, of course, you're familiar with as well, and that's the red and white sign that the fire department also provides.
So if Dinah's on the phone, is Dinah still on the phone?
Yep.
So how do we get a number 10 from Mr. Grasso?
Is Mr. Grasso a member of the EPOA?
No, but I think the village district will be requesting and paying for the sign. The office will.
I don't know. Why don't you give him a red sign? He'd like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to do is make a motion that we either contact the EPOA or the fire department and purchase a sign for Mr. Grasso.
I thought all the lots had the nice Edelweiss sign on it, whether they were members or not.
Oh, no, only members.
Oh, really?
I don't even know how we could do that, so I'd go with the red sign.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask, does the EPOA still do signs? If not, the fire department can certainly do it, and that's a $25 fee. So I'll make a motion that we appropriate $25 for the purchase of a street number sign, number 10, for Mr. Frank Grasso at number 10 Jungfrau.
I'll second that.
Okay.
And what line item, Dave, what line item are we going to be taking this from?
How about buildings and grounds?
Okay.
Okay. I'm just writing this down.
I was being a little sarcastic, sorry.
No, I know. Okay. So we have a motion on the floor to purchase a number 10 street number sign for Mr. Frank Grasso on Jungfrau Road. Let me write that down. And the reason being is because the district was in error when we gave out his address to the 911 communications with all the phone companies. So I have a seconded by Kathy. Any further discussion on the sign? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right, I got that. Let me go back to my minutes on my agenda here. Okay. We also have a correspondence from a Mr. Mark Ruxtui, and he is stating that his street number sign is becoming delaminated, and he wants to know how to get a new one. So I guess I'll have we can send out from the office an email response to this individual that they can reach out to the EPOA or the Madison Fire Department if they want to get a new sign.
So now it sounds like what Dinah said was that the EPOA, I mean, do you have to buy those signs in lots of 50 or is it something that
I know we used to have some blank ones, Kathy. As a matter of fact, Jay, I think many moons ago you were in charge of this. And then when somebody joins the EPOA, it's one of the perks you get. And I think Gemini Sign would put the number on, and it was done.
Okay. Yeah. So do we have any more blank?
I don't know if we have a lot. I mean, I have no idea where that is now with the EPOA.
So maybe the email should...
Maybe send the request to the EPOA. I think if, you know, that's fine. And they can either say yes or maybe...
And so somebody might know where they are. Okay.
All right.
Is from the EPOA.
Right.
And it does look nice. I like the consistency of it throughout the district. It does make it look nice versus a hodgepodge of signs from Home Depot.
Yep.
Fire department.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty bland. I like the color red, though. Buy it.
I think they stand out beautifully as far as the 911.
Yeah. Well, they're reflective, which is nice, too. They can be seen at night a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's all I have on the correspondence. Does anybody have any concerns or questions about those things that we just talked about in the correspondence? Okay, thank you. Now I'll open up basically to general public comment. Does anybody on the phone have any general concerns, questions, anything you might want to discuss? Maybe when the Red Sox will be playing again, anything like that?
This is, it's Dinah, and oh my gosh, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I was wondering if Kathy got her estimate for the I guess they're called kayak racks now, not canoe racks. But I'm wondering if we got any information about that.
Well, last week I reported that we had a list of materials. I spoke to the gentleman who was going to do it. I think he's lost interest in doing it. It's a lot more work. We don't have power down there at the beaches, so we're going to have to get a generator to create power. So I think we're going to have to go through another option. Now, Larry Leonard suggested maybe making this a volunteer project. So, Jay, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
There's a lot of work with this one. And
I know
the same point, Yeah, you're going to need a generator, or someone with a generator. You're going to need power tools. And there's 114 spaces to.
I took away all the bottom ones. The bottom ones really didn't need an extra brace for the shorter boats because you're on the ground. But still, you were looking at 70, you know, 1x6s to, because the racks that are in the middle of the spaces that are in the middle of the rack only have a set of arms. There's nothing to attach a cross piece to make the space shorter. But you have to end up putting in a center piece from the top to the bottom or left to right, and then adding something to minimize the width, to make the width narrower so the boats don't fall off. So it's more than just throwing up a couple of 2x4s, unfortunately.
Right.
I think they're safe. I mean, we went around and kind of, you know, grabbed them, and they were sturdy. So if we had to open up the kayak racks without this modification, I feel that we could do it. The racks didn't seem in that bad a shape.
Right.
But we can't do just half of them, because half of them will be for the kayak. We either have to take a weekend and do all of them or none of them.
Yes, I agree. We probably will have to forego any improvements this year until next year.
Yeah, I agree. And it's too bad, because the only time we can do it is when there's no boats on it, which is like November and December or in April. So,
right.
So I was a good idea. I think that it would make sense. I think it's, you know, and I hate to put stuff on Kelly again, but, you know, because they can easily do it during the week. Like, you and I can't do it. You know, we'd have to get volunteers, and it's got to be a weekend. And, again, I don't know if the logistics of it is going to be worth the effort.
Right.
But I'll talk to Steve again. I'll say, look, just give us a price, because he's going, oh, there's a lot of work here. It's going to be more than $500 in labor to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's be prepared at least next week if the news comes out from the governor this week, tomorrow, and Tom Madison on Tuesday, that they're going to go ahead and open up beaches and all the toys and outhouses and all that good stuff. So we better be prepared for making a similar plan with our regards to our beaches next week.
Okay. So now, should we make a motion in case Donna's unavailable? Because if she doesn't work Friday and Monday, we want to get this conference call with Chris. Do you want me to reach out to Chris to see if we can schedule the conference call for Monday morning at 9?
Yes, please. I'll make that. You wait, making that motion?
You make the motion.
Okay. You'll second?
And I'll second it.
To have Kathy reach out to Chris.
Albert, yeah.
Yeah.
So 6-1 at 9 a.m.
Yeah, Monday meeting at 9.
Okay. So now, would we use, and you want to use this same call that we're using now, so at least somebody should be in the office to be the host.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That'll
this
be fine.
Is going to be...
Yeah, I'll set it up and we can record it, hopefully record it like we are doing right now with this meeting.
Okay. All right, and what I'll also do is I'll post it on the website, because it'll be a commissioner's meeting.
Yep, okay.
Can the public dial in?
Yep. It's going to be a meeting just like this one.
Yep.
9 o'clock, okay.
Yep, on June 1st.
And just so folks know, I'm looking at the computer, and I don't know when it... Oh, it just did. Okay, it just cut out. But I believe the 2 hours has been recorded before we got cut off. All right.
So I was just going to ask you, is Kelly going to work on the culvert on Little Loop this week?
Say that again?
Is Kelly going to work on the – well, today's already Thursday, so, and he's not coming in tomorrow. I was wondering if the Little Loop project is on his radar for next week.
It absolutely is. Kelly and I did yesterday, we went out and we took some measurements at the Little Loop Drainage Project. So he's going to get ready of bringing materials over there. And he did say that Jeff is going to be taking some time off next week. So he's thinking either late next week or immediately starting the week after.
Okay. So do you want to reach out to the homeowner and just send him an email to that effect?
Yeah, both homeowners that, because they both inquired.
Right.
We wanted to establish that center line so that we knew we had 10 feet easement on either side. So we just wanted to establish that. And so now he knows where he needs to dig and to put those pipes and all that good stuff.
Okay. All right. So what I'm going to need from you, Ben, is, well, you're going to do this email, and I'll reach out to Chris. I'll need the addresses from you of those 19 lots, and then I'll put together the letters and the certified mail, and we'll have that all ready to go on Monday.
Okay.
And then Adam did send, I just read it, he sent a paragraph that we could put out there regarding the project. Let me find it here. All right. And then basically he said the construction of the new water tank and accompanying work has begun on the top of Reinhardt Hill. I'll put Reinhardt Road. Every property owner should know that the magnitude of this project is significant and will lead to unexpected road closures and water outages. The Board of Commissioners will do their best to inform the public in advance when possible, but it is advised that all property owners prepare as best they can to withstand a brief one-day water outage. Property owners should also plan for the possibility of not having immediate or direct road access to their homes. I'd like to clarify that a little bit and put the specific roads.
Right.
Similarly, the Board of Commissioners will try to inform the public in advance whenever possible of this as well. We apologize for the inconvenience. Okay. So the only thing I think I would add to that, Jay, is we should put down the roads, only the roads that would have an impact up there, or only the roads that would be impacted up there.
Yeah.
And
then Reinhardt.
Kristen Stark, Salins.
Well, Salins is going to be the travel road, as well as Idlewise Drive, Thusis, to Salins, to Bristenstock, to Reinhardt. Yeah.
Okay, so but for road closures, then it would only be Bristenstock and Aspen?
Right.
Okay. Okay. All right, so those are closures. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, so you read this, and if you have any comments, please, you know, send them to the office and to me, and we'll make sure that this is worded correctly. It doesn't look too bad, but I just want to add those that detail about the roads.
Okay, all right. Very good.
All right.
Does anybody else in the public have any comments, concerns? Kathy, do you?
Jay.
Okay.
Jay,
this is Dinah. Are you going to be stay at the office for about an hour or so?
I can be down here in an hour if that's okay. 12 noon?
So not right now, but in an hour. Well, I just have to sign that thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'll find it for you, and I'll pull it out, and I'll make sure that it is here for you, and I'll be here when you come down.
When will you be there?
Is 12 noon okay with you?
Yeah, anytime. Okay, thanks. I'm signing
right,
off. You. Have a good day.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You're going to entertain it?
Yes.
Okay. Song and dance. All right. I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
11:08. Perfect. Almost 2 hours. Good.
All right. All right. So now,
thank you,
Jay. Are all those thank you letters in the office to be signed? I didn't see them when I left on Tuesday.
Yeah, they're already signed. I believe, I'm looking right now, I believe Donna has already put those in the mail.
Okay, all right. I looked on Tuesday and I didn't see them.
Okay.
Okay, all right. I'll talk to you later. All right.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.